You may know Eduardo Verástegui as the star of the Toronto Film Festival award-winning Bella, or his more recent film, For Greater Glory. But prior to this, Eduardo was a wildly popular Mexican soap opera star and vocalist of the boy band Cairo. Eduardo is currently on tour in Australia, sharing his story, and Sarah caught up with him to find out more about his renewed focus and how it changed his life.
Today I'm blessed to be speaking to actor and film producer Eduardo Verástegui. Did I say that right, Eduardo?
Verástegui,
Verástegui.
Almost there.
Thanks so much for making the time to catch up with me today.
Well, thank you, and thank you for this time that you've given me. I'm very happy to be here talking to you.
How's the visit been so far?
Oh, it's amazing. It was really, I can write a book about all the wonderful experiences and the people and, you know, everything. I'm very inspired and very grateful to all the wonderful people that I have met here. It's all great, you know. I think the one word that describes everything, how I feel right now, is gratitude. I'm very grateful to be invited and to come to this wonderful country and, you know, to promote a wonderful movie that we produce called Crescendo and to talk to the students in all the universities that we have visited.
You've just been here sharing your testimony with people along our East Coast, and you're previously a singer, a TV star, Calvin Klein model, you're in a Jennifer Lopez clip and then a feature film, and then you decided to get out of all that and you eventually started this production company Metanoia. But I stumbled onto some footage of security guards having to stop screaming fans from throwing themselves on you. This is a while ago. Could you tell me a bit about what your life was like at that time?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm from a very small town in Mexico, northern Mexico, and I moved to Mexico City to pursue my dream at the age of 18. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a singer. So I started first singing in a boy band for 3.5 years in Mexico and all over Latin America and, you know, South America. And after that, after 3.5 years working with that boy band called Cairo, I started doing a lot of soap operas in Mexico for almost 4 years. And after that, when I finished the last one, I moved to Miami to pursue music again. So I recorded my first solo album in Spanish over there. And again, I was traveling all over Latin America, South America, United States, and Mexico. And then my biggest dream was to move to Los Angeles one day to learn English and why not to do my first American film. That was like the American dream for me, you know, a Mexican actor who moved to Hollywood and starts his career there. And one day that dream came true. When I was flying from Miami to Los Angeles, I met a casting director on the plane, and he invited me to do an audition for a film. I did the audition, got the part, and at the same time I received a call from Jennifer Lopez to do a video with her, I mean, from her office, and I did that video. And after 10 years of working really hard in music, television, film, and all that, that's when I was just, you know, something was missing in my life. I thought I had everything, but then I had nothing. I was very empty, and something was missing. I didn't know what it was. And it was actually the English teacher that I hired, who not only taught me English, but changed my life, because she was really, you know, helping me to open my eyes. And she helped me to understand that I was not assuming the responsibilities that I had to assume at the time. I forgot that whatever project I was involved, whether I like it or not, you know, I was going to be, affecting how people think, especially young people, you know, because media influence how people think. So I realized that I was not actually working in projects that were designed to actually change the world in a positive way, you know, but on the contrary, I was, in my opinion, poisoning our society by the place that I was involved. So, and then I discovered that I was part of the problem, not part of the solution. What I mean by that is that Latinos in the United States, we have been stereotyped in a very negative way in the media. They always portray us as, most of the time, as, you know, the drug dealer, the thief, the bandido, the criminal, and all the bad stuff. And very few times you see Latinos having the opportunity of being a real hero. Not like Superman or Spider-Man, but, you know, the Latino who moved to the United States not to steal anything, but to work really hard so we can provide provide a better life for his family, and just good working, you know, hard people, and you know, families full of integrity, and so I made a promise to God that I will never use my talents again to do anything that will offend my faith, my family, or my Latino culture. And that's when everything started for me, you know, a new path with, you know, a new life, because it was very hard in the beginning, because I ended up not working for 4 years, because all the roles that I got offered were exactly, you know, those movies were about the things that I promised I will never do. And until I realized that the only way how you can have the power to control the moral content of a story is only if you become the producer. So then a few years later, I was inspired. I was led to open a production company, and with our, you know, with the mission of making films that would have the potential not only to entertain but to make a difference in people's lives, you know, elevating human dignity. And the first fruit of that mission was Bella, and now we're finishing Little Boy, and we have done you know, a few other short films as well, and that's what we're trying to do right now. You know, just trying to use my talents to glorify God and to be involved in projects that are, you know, that sends a positive message, you know.
I'm sure many people have had this experience, like a conversion or something, and they've said to God, you know, I want to live this way now, I want to live for you. But there's always that sense of sort of looking back. And I know in our culture, things like fame and money and all the things that go with it, they're a huge temptation. How did you stick to your resolve through those 4 years where you went without work? How did you make sure that you stuck to that? What was that like?
Well, it was a very interesting experience, because the way how I saw it, because for everyone is different, you know. For me, it was more like a purification process. You know, I needed that in my life. I needed to, you know, to really be tested, you know. And so it was great, because it's very romantic, you know, when you say, you know, I'm never gonna do this anymore. I will never compromise. Yes, but when the, you know, when you're tested, when you're in front of this challenge for real, it's when you know if you know it was real or it was just an emotional, you know, promise that you made, you know, based on emotions. And so I needed those 4 years of really die to myself, you know, and to, because I was so attached, I was very attached to my career. I was serving myself, and then myself, and then myself. And everything was about my career, fame, and success. And so in order for me to let go to all that, I think it was very important to actually, you know, yes, to go through that whole process and the whole journey of not being able to work, not because it was not work, you know, in front of me, but because the work that I got offered, that I was offered, it was what I, you know, it required for me to compromise. And so I said, no, I can't compromise. You know, I already did for many years. I can't do it anymore. And where did I get the strength, knowing that I was a very weak person? My faith, that's what, you know, saved me and helped me until today. And it's going to be like that until the, you know, until the last day of my life. And that's when I discovered my faith. And because my faith was not, my Catholic faith was not the center of my life at that time. It was little by little how I end up, you know, holding myself from my faith, because without that, there is no way I'm going to be able to achieve and fulfill all those promises that I was doing without the help of God. So I started going to Mass every day. I started praying a rosary every day. I started going to confession once a week. And you know, that's when I discovered what is the real purpose of life, you know. Before that, I thought the purpose of life is just to be famous and rich and to have a lot of pleasure, and therefore you're going to be very happy, instead of actually knowing the real purpose of life, which is to know and to love and to serve God, you know, mm-hmm. and to be a saint. And I never heard anything like that before. I didn't go to Catholic schools, and I was just, you know, seduced by the message of our society and our culture, you know, that if you don't have all these things, and you're nobody. And if you don't go to the top of the mountain, you're not successful, and you're not famous or this or that, then you're going to be miserable. So you're always trying to, you know, get there, and whatever, and you do whatever it takes to get there. And when you get there, then you find out that it was all lies, you know, it was not truth. And so then you start looking around, okay, where is the truth, you know, what's happiness and what, you know, I don't have peace, so how can I have peace? And you start asking all these questions, you know, because you want to live, a peaceful life. And I was not living, with peace at that time. I was just lost, you know, and confused. And it was my faith what actually put everything together, and it's been an amazing journey, you know.
So the people that you were friends with, or the people that you were working with before this time of transformation, did you stay in contact with them? Did you find yourself having to explain what was going on with you?
Yeah. I mean, some people are still, you know, in my life as part of my, you know, family and friends, and some other people, they just didn't understand what I was going through, and they just, because friendship is like an elevator. Either your friends take you up or they bring you down, and when I was making all these new decisions in my life, I approached all my friends and I told them, you know, I'm going through this, and I would love to invite all of you to, you know, to explore this new journey, and this is the truth, and when you find a treasure, of course you want to share that treasure with all your friends and all the people that you love. And but some people, they were not ready to, some of my friends were not ready to do that commitment, you know, because you have to be ready to commit to this new path, to this new life, but you know, maybe it was not their time, and life doesn't end for them yet, and you know, I pray for them every day and that's pretty much it, you know, and this is a journey that doesn't end until you die, you know. It's every day, it's a battle, it's battles and fights every day, and this is a past, as I said before, that doesn't end until the last day of your life.
Sort of thinking about your story, it reminded me of the words at the start of Bella, which is one of my favorite quotes, where it says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Looking back now on the journey that you've been on, and looking back at where you've come from, what goes through your head?
It's my journey, and it's I'm just very grateful. Like, that's I'm very thankful to God for even though I was very distracted for many years, and I was using my talents in a selfish way, and I was just trying always to, I was looking for something, you know, and but it was out of ignorance. It was not. I don't remember me being, waking up in the morning saying, "How can I do? How can I go against the church? Or how can I go?" Like, no, I was just. I thought I was a good Catholic actually, just because I was going to mass once a year, you know.
Mm.
So. That was in my head what a real man, you know, a godly man should be doing, is to go on to thank God for the entire year in Christmas, you know. And so I was just very ignorant. And so when I was facing this new challenge in my life, when this English teacher approached me and told me all these things, I saw them, you know, I saw everything that was truth, that I needed to change my life. So that's when I really was going through, crossing a moment of really making a decision. Am I going to ignore all this and reject all this truth? Or am I going just to reject all my, life of, this, you know, this sort of life that I was living? And by the grace of God, I started a new life. So I'm very grateful. I think that's the word that describes everything, you know. It's just gratitude, thankful with God that even though, as I said, I was very distracted, somehow He protected me in all that life that, you know, I could be dead now, you know. And just, you know, when you're living a life where God is not the center of your life, I mean, there is nothing good that is going to come out of that. And sooner or later, you're going to just, you know, crash and die spiritually or actually die for real in everything, you know. And but here we are, and trying to do my best to become, you know, the person that God wants me to be.
Praise God, and thank you for doing that and for your witness. You mentioned earlier that Metanoia is working on a new project, Little Boy. Could you tell us a bit about that film and when we can expect to see that?
Yeah, Little Boy is our new film that we're just finishing. Actually, this week we're doing the final mix. It's going to be ready, just in a few more days, and then we are right now putting together the marketing and plan and a few other things. We're doing the trailers and posters and everything else, and I think it's going to be ready in September in the United States, and after that we don't know when it's going to come out worldwide, but we're planning for September. And it's just a wonderful film with Emily Watson and Tom Wilkinson, and I hope this movie will touch many, many hearts. And this movie is designed to wake up the little boy that we all have in our hearts, that when we grow up, we start killing that boy, you know. And that boy represents, of course, you know, the innocence and the purity and all the things that that we need to have to please God, you know.
Okay, great. Well, we'll pray for your work, and we'll look forward to seeing Little Boy here soon, hopefully.
Well, thank you so much for your time. God bless you, and hopefully I can meet you in person. God bless. Take care.
And you too, Eduardo. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Eduardo is currently in Australia thanks to the Australian Catholic University. For more information, visit acu.edu.au/Eduardo. And for more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au. cradio.org.au